We begin the current daf in Sechtes Kedushin, daf Yud Gimel. We begin 12 lines up in the bottom of the Amud, on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with different variations of halachas relating to the kinyan of Kedushin. The Gemara says the following story. Hahu Gamra, there was a certain person, the Kaddish B'tzivsa the Asa. He engaged a woman, and he gave it to her for purposes of creating Kedushin, with a mat made out of myrtle branches. Now, Amrulay, they told to the guy, V'holes b'shavapruta. We know what we've been mentioning, that the lowest minimum amount that Kedushin could be has to be worth a shavapruta. Here you'd be Mekadisha with the Kinyan of Kesed, with something worth value, which is this mat of reeds, but it's worth less than a shavapruta, and that's not going to create Kedushin. So Amalahu, he said to them, Tikdish ba'ar bezuzi de isba. Let her become engaged with the four zuzim that are wrapped into that mat. That should create the Kinyan of Kedushin. So the story goes on that Shekalta, that the woman, took the money, didn't throw it away, Vishtaka, and she was silent. So Amar Rava says that Havishtikus Dalachamat Mois. This essentially was her silence after the money was already given. Meaning at the time when she received the mat and the monies were inside, she had no clue that there were monies inside. Now, although at ultimately when she ends up finding out, which is when she's silent, so again, although generally silence, shtika is kaido, is usually like an acquiescence of some sort, but Vichoshtikus Dalachamat Mois, but whenever her silence, which would be an indicator, is only after she had already received the monies. Lav Kolomi says, Rava, that has no value whatsoever. Because this, that her silence is not indicating an acquiescence of Kedushin, is because she doesn't care. Because she says, originally when I received this mat, which was the actual kinya of Kedushin of Kesef, has to be, he gives her something, and he says, with this you become engaged to me. When he told that to her, she's like, wait, there's a mat over here of myrtle branches, which are not worth a shavapruta. Well, that's not creating Kedushin. Although later on when he says, oh, there's money inside of it, that money should have created the Kedushin, that silence is not a silence of acquiescence of Kaidah. That's to say, because, yeah, I don't care, I don't need to respond, because I know that when I received the Kedushin, there was nothing there of value, and therefore I'm not engaged. And therefore, okay, he wants to give me money, fine, and save for Kedushin, save for Kedushin. But that you didn't give me anything now, you're just saying what I already have, I could hold on to, that silence would not be, the silence will only create Kaidah during the acceptance. If it happens at a later point in time, our silence is not necessarily an indicator of an acceptance of Kedushin because it's not at the time that he's giving it to her, and therefore she's not going to be engaged. So says Amar Rava, Rava says, from where do I know this halacha that I'm saying regarding this story, that her silence, which was only after the money was already given, in halacha is not valid. That will not create a shtika kaida, which it would be if it was during the time when he's giving it to her. The time, like, learn the braisa. Amar Allah, if a man says to a woman, Kinsi sela zubi pikadin. Here, take this sela, this coin, as a deposit. The chazava amallah hiskachali ba. And then he retracts, he changes his mind later, and he says, no, I want to be engaged to you with this sela. Now, says the Brice, it depends. Bishas matan mois, if before she received the money in the first place, after he already said he wants to give it as a deposit, he then went and said, I want to become engaged to you with this, and then she receives it, then mukadesh, then she's engaged, because when she's receiving it, obviously, she knows under what context it is, which was, he said, that it's to create Kedushin, and she's opening up her hands and receiving it. That shtik is going to be Kaidah. But, says the Braisa la'achar matan mo'iz, if let's say he only changed his phraseology, his context, only after she had already received the money, and he says, no, you know what? Not for a deposit. The money that I gave you, I don't want it to be for Kedushin. Says the Braisa, ratasa mukudashas, if she wants, it'll create Kedushin. Like Ratzasa in the Mukadeshes. She doesn't want, it's not going to create a Kedushin. So explains Rava. My Ratzasa, my Loi Ratzasa. What are these two terms that if he already gave me the money as a Bekadim, then he changes his mind. He says, you know what? Let it be for Mois of Kedushin. If she wants, it's Kedushin. If she doesn't want, it's not. What are those? What does it mean wanting and not wanting? As he explains, Ilei Meratzasa the Amr in, if you would seemingly interpret it like the words are usually translated, that her being willing means to say that she says yes, and lay ratzasa d'amar loy, and not willing is that she says no. Well, that's problematic, because machlal, the reisha, that would infer that the first halacha, which is that when he told her this at the time of when he was giving her to the money, meaning before he gave her the money, which does not differentiate between if she's willing or not willing, so that as we continue at Tabib Gimlam and Alf, sounds like, Ki amru loy, it would sound like that you're interpreting that the halacha l'resha, which again doesn't differentiate, so even loy ratzasa, which you're saying means to say that if she says no, nami have a kedushin, would also be a kedushin? Amai, why would that lochah d'reisha be kedushin, even though he told her to this before he ever gave it to her, but v'kam v'loy, but she's saying no. Fine, I'll put it, take my hands, but I'm not agreeing this should be a kedushin. So how can you say lei ratzasa means to say that she says no, which what you're saying wouldn't work by the case of the seifa when he told it to her after he gave it to her, but it sounds like by the ratio which doesn't differentiate, it would work even it would work if it's before, but why? She's saying no. And love rather proves Rava ratzasa when it's saying in the seifa that if she's willing, that's the amr in which she says yes. Lei ratzasa when it says that she's not willing, is the ishtaka mishtaka, is where she's silent. In other words, this that it says loy ratzasa doesn't mean to say that she says no. It's where she doesn't say I want. That's what loy ratzasa. She wasn't willing, meaning she didn't say that she doesn't want, meaning she didn't say that she is willing. That, yes, works if it was b'shas to Kabbalah, because if she's silent and he gives her the money, and before he gives her the money, he says it's for kedushin purposes and she accepts it. Okay, so she's obviously indicating that she's opening up her hands, and that shtika is kaidah. But by the seifa, we say, when he really gave her the monies, and then he says, oh, I want it to be for kedushin purposes, and she's silent, we're calling lei ratzasa, there it's not going to work. It says, Rabu shema mino, shtika telacha matan mois, where, although shtika is kaida, being silent is like acquiescence. And if someone tells you something, and you then agree, and your actions speak louder than your words, and you open up your hands, that will be a kedushin. But here where the sounds is after the giving of the money, loy klumhi. That's my proof that it's nothing. Because again, as Rashi explains the logic of Rav, is because when she's silent, is because she's like, I don't care. I don't have to say anything. What relevance does my silence anyways have to do? The money was already given to me. If I'm silent when he's giving in action, and he said before what the pretext of that is, and then I accept, okay, that's obviously I'm going upon his terms. But here, why do I have to answer to him? He already gave me the money. That's not an indicator of her accepting of kedushin. And if it says Rava, in the case of the halacha with the mat, where when he gave it to her, he gave her nothing, it wasn't worth a shavah pruta, although later he says that there are four zuz inside of that, that's too late. That her silence would be shtika lacha matan mois, that's lav klami. That was what Rava had said. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, kashuba bepum nahara, it was difficult for them, this halacha of Rava, in this place, pum nahara, which was mishmed Rav Huna b'ridei Yeshua. This question they had was in the name of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. Because the question was, me dummy? Is Rava's comparison really analogous where the silence over here that he's quoting from the Braisa when he originally gave it to her for a pekadin to the case of that Rava wanted to illustrate regarding the mat of the myrtle branches? They're different. Because Hassam, over there by the case of the Braisa, when he originally told her, I'm giving it to you this as a deposit, Bitaris pekadin yahavin in halah. Originally, he had given it to her as a deposit, which when someone has a deposit for watching someone else's things, they have a halachas as a shemer, as a safeguard. They have responsibilities to it. Now, therefore, when he subsequently tells her, even after the monies are given, that I want you to become engaged to me, Savar, she thinks, Ishadina luhu. So if I'm going to throw it, because what? Kedushin? No way. It's not what I accepted upon. She's going to throw it. Umitfri, and it's going to break. Mechayav nebahu. I'm going to become liable because I'm a shomeret. I'm a shomer. So that's why she's not throwing it, and that's why she's not protesting. Because what am I supposed to do? I'm not agreeing, but I'm going to go fight him. So, but I'm not throwing it out because I'm going to be responsible. So we can't tell you, well, if you didn't agree to the terms, you should have thrown it out. No, I'm not going to throw it out because I'm a shomer, but I'm not going to fight him. That's why the shtik is not going to be kaidah if it's lachar matan mois. But says Rav Huna, Hacha over here in the case of Rava, which was by the mat, Bitaris Kedushin Yahavin and Allah. Originally when they gave her this mat of the myrtles, the purpose of it was for purposes of Kedushin, that's what she received it for. Now, although the mat itself wasn't worth a Shabbat Pruta, but when he subsequently tells her, I want you to be engaged to me with the Zuzim, with the monies that were wrapped in a bundle inside of that mat, then the Iisa Delei Nichala, then if it's true that she wasn't preferable, she didn't want to accept that context of being engaged with those monies, well then Lishadinu, then she should have thrown it out. Why are you holding on to it? By the Shoymer, by the Braisa, the Shtik is not like Haridah, because what's she supposed to do? I'm not going to fight him. Well, throwing it out, I can't because I'm going to be responsible. It might break. But by Rava's case, well, you never accept it as a shomer. You accept it as kedushin. Now that he wants to make up the story that it should be with the money, it should be kedushin, and that is worth a shavah pruta, well, then throw it out, throw it back. You don't have any responsibility, any liability. From the fact that you didn't, there is actually different than the case of the braisa, says Rav Huna, and actually in that case, he holds that she would be mukadeshes because that shtika would be like a dog, because why aren't you protesting? Throw it out. By the case of the Bekadin, we know why you're not throwing out, because you're going to be responsible. Now, Paruch Rav Achai. However, Rav Achai asked on this interpretation of Rav Huna, which was a question on Rava, Ata kuli nashi dina gemiri? What do you think? All women know halacha? That regarding what you're saying, that they know that since they didn't accept any responsibility, that if they're going to throw it out, they're not going to be liable? And that's why you're saying, for the fact that she didn't throw it out, is indicated that she is accepting it, and the shtika is kaida? What do you mean? Hachanami savra. Here also, the woman thought, isha dina lehu mitfri. She doesn't know halacha. She thinks, even though she had accepted the mat, in Rabbi's case, as kedushin, if I'm going to throw it out and it's going to break, mischayav nebachar yisar, I'm going to be responsible for its liability. And therefore, says Rav Achai, asking Rav Huna's interpretation, which was not like Rava, that is not true. Here also, she doesn't know that there's any difference. And also, it's not going to be shtika kaida, because although you're saying, what do you mean, throw it out? She doesn't know that it's any different, and she's not throwing out because she thinks she's going to be responsible, and the shtika is not necessarily a haida because, well, she's going to fight with him, but it's not necessarily an indicator of acquiescence, of acceptance of the condition. So essentially, he's saying like Rava. So the Gemara concludes, Shalacha Rav Acha Bar Rav L'Kamedir Avina. He said, Kahai Gavna Mai, so what is the halacha in such a situation, which again we have a machlek is Rava and Rav Huna, regarding what would the halacha be? Would we say shtika l'acha kabalas matan mois is haida? Is it kedushin or not? So Shalach Lehi sent to him, look, Anan lo yishmi alon had Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishu. We never heard his halacha. In other words, he didn't tell it to us, and no one else said it over to us in his name. Atun d'shmi alochu chushala, but you heard his opinion being mentioned, you have to be concerned for his opinion, which he held that the woman shtika would be considered like oida, even la'achar matan mois, would be like a kedushin, and therefore, if in such a story like what in Rav's case, you would require the woman to first get a get if she would want to go ahead and get married to someone else. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, "Hahi itza davuk mezavna varshche." There was a woman who was selling these bundles of silk. Asahu gava. So a certain man came along, chataf varshche mina. He grabbed away one of her silk bundles. So Amalei havan ali. She says, "Give it to me." Amalei, he said, "Iyahiv nelech mikachesli. If I give it to you, will you become engaged to me with it?" So she took it and she was silent. Rav Nachman said, Yechay Lameima, the woman could say, In Shakli, you're right, I did take it, which although your context when you were giving it back to me was that I'm accepting Kedushin with that, but Vididi Shakli, I was taking back my own thing. It's not an indicator of acceptance of Kedushin, although that's what you said before you're giving it back to me, but it was mine. So the fact that you said that, I don't care. I took it back, not because I'm accepting Kedushin, just because I'm taking my own thing and the woman is not engaged. However, Rav asked Rav Nachman for the following brisa. The brisa says, if a man is kitsha begezel, if a man engages a woman with something that was stolen, where he didn't give any money, just grabbed away something from somebody, and then he engaged a woman with that. Or uva chamas. Chamas is where the man gave money to the person that he took it from, but he took it from the person who wasn't really willing to sell. He says, you better give it to me, which is essentially like stealing. Just there he actually pays it, but it's forcing the person. Or uva geneva. Geneva is stealing in private, where the person doesn't see that you're stealing from them. Or he grabs away a seller from the woman's hand. And then he goes and gives it back to her by saying, Harayat Mukadashesli. Says the Brisa, Mukadashes, she's engaged. So ask Rav to Rav Nachman, you see clearly from the Brisa, not like you said. That's exactly the case. When he grabs something away from her, and then he gives it to her with the pretense of Kedushin, she's going to be engaged. And you said she's not engaged. So answer Rav Nachman, no, Hasam b'dishadach. That Bryce is talking about where beforehand they already had shaduchim, which means to say that they already were speaking about getting married, getting engaged. And she was agreeable to have the halachic kedushin. So over there, yes, where he grabs it away and he gives it to her and she's silent is because she's agreeable to it. But by a regular woman, where you grab away, you never dated this woman, you don't know her at all, you grab it away. And then you say, right, Mukadashesli, and she's silent. Of course, there it's not going to have a halachic relevance. And that's why he said, in his case, that the woman's not engaged. The price is told about where there was already shaduchim, where they already had what we call engagement, not halachic engagement. And then he grabs away something and he says, this is for your kedushin, and she's silent. That's because she's agreeable because they're already on their way to making kedushin. That's the case of the price. And he says more than that. He says, I'm not tamer d'shani lam bein shadach udeloy shadach. He says, and how do I know this? That there's a difference in halacha between if there was shaduchim, if there was already that they had agreed to that they want to get engaged, and then you go ahead and do it and she sound, it's shaduchim, it's going to be kedushin. In contrast to a regular woman where if there was no shaduchim and you just grab it away and you say, Arei Mekudesh Tisli, and she's silent and she takes it back, then it's not going to be a kedushin. The time like learned in the Braisa. Omar lof, a man says to a woman, Kinsi sela zushani chayv lechi. Here, take this sela that I owe you. V'chazva amalo hiskachi liboy. And then he says, wait a second, you know what? I want to get engaged to you with this money, this sela that I'm giving to you. So says the Braisa, b'shas matan mois, if he says this to her at the time when he's giving her the money, then ratzas amukudashas, if she wants to, before he pays back the loan, the money that he owes her, he says, I want this to be for mois kedushin, and she's agreeable, then it'll create kedushin. But if she's not agreeable, she's not engaged because you owe me that money. I don't care that you're telling me you're doing for Kedushin. You give me the money, it's just to pay up the debt. I'm not getting engaged for that. Now, if it was after the money was already given, and only then does he say, oh, the money I paid you back, I want that to be for Kedushin, then even if she wants to, she's not going to be engaged again because that's already too late. That was her money. He never gave her anything. Saying later, oh, the money I gave you should be for Kedushin, that will have no validity. But the Gemara explains, my ratzasa umay loy ratzasa. In the case of the Reisha, what did it mean that when he's giving her the money, which he owes her, if she wants to, it'll work for Kedushin. If she doesn't want to, it won't. So as Rav Nachman explains, he says, ilay my ratzasa the amrin, if you would think to interpret that when it says that she's agreeable, it means that she says yes. And loy ratzasa the amr loy. And if she's not agreeable, it means that she's saying no. But ha'ishtaka, what it sounds like is only when she says no. But if she's silent, have a kedushin, then it would be a kedushin. Then that's problematic in the wording of the brisa, because if a nisni mukudesh is stam, then let the brisa just say, regarding if he tells her before he gives her the money that he owes her, I want this to work for kedushin, the brisa should not have said, oh, if she is agreeable, yes. If she's not agreeable, no. It should have just said that she's mukudeshes. And we wouldn't have to differentiate and say, oh, but when she says no, she's not engaged, because even children know that if someone's not agreeable before something is given, of course it's not going to work. Ki hasim, just like we had in the braisa that we quoted on the bottom of Yud Beis, Amud Beis, which was that if he gave it to her for pikudin purposes, and before he gives it to her, at the time he's giving the money, she's agreeable that it should be for kedushin, all we said was mukadesh, that she's engaged. We didn't say, oh, that it's only if she's agreeable. Because agreeable is whether you say no, whether you say yes, or if you're silent. It only doesn't work if you say no. That always we know is not going to work. So just like over there, we didn't say that if you're not saying no, it just says if you're. It said mekudeshes, because that's the general situation. It's only when you say no, it's not going to work. It doesn't say only if you say yes. So then why over here did we say if you say yes, yes, if no, no? Ella, rather, it must be that ratza says the amr en, yes. Saying that she's agreeable is that she says yes. Loi ratza must be is the ishtika. When we're saying that it doesn't work when she's not agreeable, it's not that she says no. Again, because if that's the only case it doesn't work, then don't say yes and yes and no and no. Just say she's mukadeshes. And of course, if she says no, it's not going to work. Rather, the case that we're saying it's not going to work, it's not even if she says no. It's even if she's silent and she receives the money. And still v'katani de'ni mukadeshes. And still it says that even though she's silent, when he's paying back the money he owes her and he says, I want this to be for kedushin, she says nothing and she just receives it. And that's what the Brice is saying, that Lay Ratz again doesn't mean that she doesn't want, it's just that she's not saying that she does want. We say that she's not engaged. Now my time, what's the reason? It's because Yechayla Lameim, it's because she could say, and this is what Rav Nachman is saying, just like I said, in Shakli, yes, I took the money, but in the D Shakli, I'm taking back my own money. And that's why it's not going to work, exactly like Rav Nachman had said. Now again, in contrast to the case of the Sefer, where he says this after he already gave the money, then even if she's agreeable, where she says yes, it's still not going to create a kedushin, because again, already when she had received it was to pay up a debt, when she says yes, he hasn't really given her anything because it's not his. It was already hers. It was money that he owed her, and then it's too late. But therefore, we see Rav Nachman's halacha. But now the Gemara concludes what he's trying to prove to say that, and moreover, you see this differentiation between that there's shaduchim and when there's no shaduchim. Because what the problem is with, were you proving that the braisa is saying like Rav Nachman, but what do you do with that other braisa? Which said that if you engage a woman with theft or with something that someone's forcing someone to give him something by paying him or by stealing something, Or if he grabs a coin from her and gives a bag to her, she's going to be engaged. Why? You just said she could say, of course I took it back. Because Hadidi Shakla took my own thing. So why over there did we say this Kedushin? Rather, Nachman says, what you can infer from those two contradictory brises is Hadishadach. The second brisa, which as Rav Nachman had explained himself regarding the contradiction with his own halacha, but he just proved that a brisa says like him too, so you have to resolve it between brises anyways, that the second brisa told him that there was already Shidduchim. They already made up that they were going to get engaged. That's weird if she's silent when he grabbed it from and gave it back to her, that it's going to create a Kedushin. Ha, the Lo Shadach, the first brisa, which again, the same as Rav Nachman's halacha is, when there was no Shidduchim, just a random guy grabs something away from a woman and he says, I'm going to give it back to you if there's going to be our Kedushin, and she takes it and she says nothing, that's not going to be considered like a Haidah. Again, similar to the previous theme of Rav's Halacha regarding Shtika, although it's Kaidah, but there it's only B'shas Maisa, and as Rav said, not at a later point in time. Here also, although Shtika is like Kaidah, it's only if there's a pretext to believe that, like when the Shidduchim, when there's no Shidduchim, she's silent. Yeah, hello. I know you said it should be for Kedushin, but this is my money. So, although I'm not saying anything, it's not indicating an admission to a Kedushin, it's just taking back my own thing. Now the Gemara continues on these halachas of Kedushin Kesef, which is one of the three ways of creating Kedushin with money. So the Gemara tells us, Kinach nafshid Rabasi, when Rabasi passed away, Ailu Rabbanan, the rabbis went l'noktinu l'shmaitzi, to gather his teachings, his Torah teachings. They went into the Beis HaMedrash and they said, whoever heard something new, novel from Ravasi, should go ahead and tell it to his chavrusa, his friends, so that we could all put it together, that it's not forgotten, we could keep this and maintain this for generations. So Amalei Ahum Rabbanan of Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, so one of the rabbis spoke up, and his name was Rabbi Yaakov. He says, Hacha Amar Ravasi, this is what Ravasi had said, that Amar Amani, he said over the name of Amani, just like we opened up that in this Masechta, with Beis Hillel's opinion, that just like a woman cannot become engaged with less than the Shava Pruta, so too you cannot purchase land with something less than the Shava Pruta. Now Amrulay, they asked on this Rabbi Yaakov, they said, but Tanya, and the Brisa, not like this. The Brisa says, Afa pisha ein isha niknis b'shapachas m'shava pruta. It said explicitly not like that. It said that even though a woman cannot become engaged less than the shava pruta, karka niknis b'pachas m'shava pruta, but land could be acquired with less than the shava pruta. So Amalahem, he said to them, no, kitanya hi, when did we learn that Brisa is b'chalipin? That's a kinyan of what's called when you give something to someone else with that act of giving them like a kerchief, that creates a transfer of whatever else that they're trying to transfer, in this case, karka. Because the time, like we learned, Nabraisa, Kainim Bekli, you could acquire with a utensil, Va'afa Pishayim Be'Shavapruta, even though it's not worth a Shavapruta, you could create an acquisition of Karka. That's what we said, that Karka could be nicknamed B'Pachas M'Shavapruta, meaning through the medium of the Kinyan of Chalipin. But with the Kinyan of Kesef, there it's just like the Halach of Kedushin, which actually that's where we know the Kinyan of Kedushin actually from the Kinyan of Karka. Just like over there, it's a Kinyan of Kesef with only Shavapruta, so to over here it's only going to be Kinyan of Kesef with a Shavapruta. When we said it works even less is with the Kinyan of Chalipin, which does not work by Kedushin, but does work by the transfer of land. So the Gemara continues, once we mentioned this idea related to our topic of gathering Rabasi's halacha, so it says, Hadu Yasvi of Ka'amri. Another time they were sitting, they were saying over the different teachings of Rabasi, and they said as follows, Hadu Amr Rabbi Huda Amr Shmuel. This said, Rabbi Huda said in the name of Shmuel, whoever doesn't know very well the halachas of divorce and of marriage, he should not be involved with it because it could create a lot of problems. The woman really is engaged, not engaged, gets married to another man, big yisurim, mamzerim. So you have to really be well versed if you want to be involved in it. On that, Amr Rabbi Asi, we're quoting another halacha from Basi, he says, Amr Rabbi Yechon, the name of Rabbi Yechon, that v'kashen lo'olam, that it's so harsh that having judges who paskin halacha, who teach Jewish law regarding arayas, regarding forbidden relationships, and they're not proficient, that's worse than the generation of the flood, who they were totally had a breach in arayas. Having these judges is even worse than that. What's the proof? Shanem, like it says, the pasuk in Hosea says, regarding the Jewish people's sins, says, Oloi v'chachesh, swearing and denying, v'rtzayach and murder, v'gonav and thievery, v'noiv and adultery, paratzu, they have caused this whole breach. And v'dam v'dam nogo, and the bloods have touched the other bloods. Now, the Gemara asks, my mashma, where do you see from this pasuk to say that the judges who create this breach amongst marriage for couples are more harsh to the world than the judge of the than the generation of the flood. So the Gemara says, "Can the Metakim Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef had interpreted?" And that's because he was very proficient in the Aramaic interpretation of the Nevi'im, which Yonasan ben Aziel had made that targum, that Aramaic interpretation. So he interpreted that when the pasuk says "Paratzu," they caused a breach of "Dam b'dam nago." It's actually a reference to "Ashes Ish," regarding to the relations of a married woman, where he interpreted it as follows. It says, "Molden benin min sheikh avran." They're giving birth to children from their friends' wives, because he interprets the word "Paratzu," like we find in the beginning of Sefer Shemayis, "V'chein yifritz," when the Jewish people were parutz. They were manifesting, which means they were giving children to many at a time. They were having many children. So he calls it paratzu, that which means they were having children. Chayven al chayven meisifin. They were adding liability upon liability, which is dam b'dam nago, which means to say because actually they were having relations with their friends' wives, because these were judges that said, oh, she's divorced, when really she wasn't divorced, or she wasn't engaged, and she wasn't, causing men to be married to other people's wives. That's what the pasuk is decrying over there. Now, Uchsiv, it says later on in Hosea, it says, Al kein tavah la'aretz. So therefore, the land will mourn. V'umlal kol yeshiv ba. And all those who are settled over there will be displaced. B'chayas ha'sada. This will be amongst the wild animals in the field. U'ba'if ha'shamayim, the birds in the heaven. V'gam de'gehayom yosef v'gomer. And even the fish in the sea will be killed. That's because of what the Jewish people were committing. Now, whereas by the generation of the flood, where although there was a flood, everything was obliterated, but the decree was not on the fish in the sea. Because like the pasuk says in Bereishis, it says, whatever was on the dry land died, and not the fish in the sea. But whereas over here, which again, because of the judges who don't know Tiv Gittin V'Kedushin, causing men to be married to their friends' wives and having children from them, it caused such destruction that even the fish in the sea will die, much worse than even the dyer Hamabel. Now the Gemara, however, asks on this interpretation of Rabasi, and that is Ve'ema Ada Avilukulu. Maybe that this that the pasuk says, yes, is going to be worse than the dyer Hamabel, but who said it's just from the judges that cause this pirtza in married women? Maybe it's only until they do all the things. There's a lot of things mentioned over there. Swearing and denying and murder and thievery. Yes, if you do all those things, that's going to be worse than their Hamabel. Who said it's only from these judges? Another Gemara says, like Zalgadaitach, you can't entertain that it's only if all those sins were committed. Because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, Kibimnei Allah, because of the swearing of Laha'aretz, the land is mourning. Now, you infer from that pasuk in Yirmiyah that obviously when the pasuk in Hosea was talking about each one individually is causing al kein tevel, which causes this thing that even the fish in the sea are going to die. And that because you see that Allah is one item, and even that's going to cause it. So you see, each one individually is going to cause it. Now, however, the Gemara still asks, ve'ema Allah l'chod v'hanach l'chodai. Maybe Allah swearing may be such a big thing that itself, as we see in the other pasuk in Yirmiyah, will cause all those things. But maybe the other things, including the judges that don't know Tiv Gittin B'Kedushin, causing all this immorality, maybe it's only with all the other things it's going to cause, and not it itself. Now the Gemara continues on Amud Beis that no, because Miksiv Uferatsu doesn't say with a Vav, and that they caused a breach, which would sound like that it's only together with all the first things that were said. That's where the pasuk continues later and says Al Kain, that's going to cause all this destruction. No, Paratsu Ksiv, it says it without a Vav. That is to sound like that the Al-Kain is going back on what was said right before it only, which was the Paratsu, which was, again, as Rav Yosef had interpreted, is this, that the judges didn't properly paskin halacha about the marriages, which causes this breach of men married to their friends' wives. That itself is going to, that's the pirtza, that itself is going to cause like Kintevel Aretz, so we see that that's worse than the Dehamabel. Continuing on these halachas of Rabasi, the Gemara says, Hadur Yasir v'ka'amri. Another time they were sitting, they were saying, Haditznan. This is in the Mishnah Masechtas Kinim. Says Ha'isha, a woman that a yoledes that gave birth, so she has to bring certain karbanas. She'evia chatasa umesa. She already brought her karban chatas she has to bring, and then she died. She didn't get a chance to bring her karban oila. Says the Mishnah Masechtas Kinim, Yevi'u yershin oilasa. So her yershim, her inheritors who inherited her estate, have to bring the karban oila. Now on that, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, he explains and qualifies the halacha, and he says, That's only if she had already set aside that Karban Ayla when she was still alive. And then that's what the Mishnah Masechet Sekinim is saying, that even though she's dead, you could bring her Karban after she's dead. Avoloi hafrishat mechaim, but says Shmuel, that if she had not yet separated the Karban Ayla when she was still alive, then the Tana didn't say that we have to force the Yerushim to bring a Karban Ayla, because her estate has not accepted that responsibility, that liability, from the fact that she had that achrayis. Says the Gemara, Almok Sabashi Buddha, obviously the Shmuel holds that this, that the rabbi said, that a person's property, a person's estate, is liable for the loans and for the debts that they have, even after they die, that's obviously lav d'oraisa. That's obviously not a biblical law. In other words, to say that the person's properties are their arev, is their guarantor, and that it should be liable because of the halachas of arev, and that to say that there's an equation between what's called a milva hapeh, which is even the oral loan, like in this case, and the milva bishtar, and the document that has the loan in the document, that's obviously not what Shmuel holds. Rather, he holds that a milva bishtar, when you have a loan in the document, which the person himself has created that lien, that indebtedness, because he writes in the document that nichse achrayin lach, my estate will be liable to you for this loan, that creates a shibud. Even the person dies, they'll be able to collect from his estate. But a milva al peh, but an oral loan, like in this case, where the karban oila that a woman has is a responsibility that she has, but it wasn't written in the document, that's a shibud, that's not biblical, and therefore that's not going to be mishtabed from her estate after that she dies. The Mishnah Masechet Kinim is only talking about if she had already separated, then the Yerushim could bring it. But if she had not, that shibud is not biblical, and therefore the Yerushim do not have to give and bring her karban oila to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Shmuel held. But Amar Reb Asi, Amar Reb Yechanan, not Reb Asi, and that's why we're quoting this, because we want to gather all his different statements. He said over in the name of Reb Yechanan, Avagav Shaloi Hifrish Mechaim. Even if she did not separate it, she only went to our bank, took out money, bought her kamachatas, didn't do anything with the oila, then she dies. Even then, the Yerushim have to go out and bring it. Says the Gemara, Amok Sav Shibud Habeder Raisa. Obviously, we see that Reb Asi holds in the name of Reb Yechanan that shibud is biblical, and therefore the liability of that there is in the estate is automatic, and therefore, even though she didn't take off, there's still the responsibility on the estate that the Yerushim have to bring her karban oila. Now, that the Gemara asks, but pligi b'chad d'zamna, we already have this machlikas, Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel already mentioned once before. So why are we repeating it again? As we find, the Rav Shmuel d'amr tavayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, milva al peh, an oral loan, eina gevim in a Yerushim. You cannot collect from the inheritors. And this is exactly what we're saying. These are this machlek is Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan. So Shmuel is saying that Shibud is lav d'oraisa. That's why you can't collect from the Yerushim. And for sure, v'loy min lakuchas. For sure you cannot collect from the lakuchas, because as we'll see at the end of the sugya, even if you hold Shibud is d'oraisa, there is an opinion that holds you can never collect from lakuchas, because an oral loan is not something that there's word about it. Now, however, of course, if it was a loan in the document, so when the person themselves creates that indebtedness, because he writes, Kol nechsai de'isli, all my properties that I have, achroin l'shtar dinan, is liable for this loan in this document, of course that's going to create responsibility that the Yerushim have to pay up. But if it's an oral loan, you cannot collect not from the Yerushim and not from the Lekuchas. Whereas Rabbi Yechin, Rosh Logosh, Damit Tabayu, they both say, Milva al peg goiva, that an oral loan could collect, Beimin ha-Yerushim, Beimin al-Kuchas. You could collect from the inheritors and from the purchasers who purchased from this person who died. So you see, obviously, that Shibud is d'oraisa. So why are we repeating it again in this context of this Mishnah in Masechtas Kinim regarding the karban oila of a woman who gave birth who died, which essentially is the same halacha where it wasn't written in the document. It's not a milva bishtar. They're both oral obligations. So it's the same machlekes. If Shibud is d'oraisa or not, why do we repeat it in two different contexts? So the Gemara explains tricha. We needed to say both. Because the E at Mar Baha, had we only said it regarding the one that we had previously mentioned regarding a milva al peh, regular oral loan that one guy borrows from someone else without writing in a document, then we would say Baha Karma Shmuel. Over there is where Shmuel says that it's not going to create a shibud to collect from the Yerushim. Mishum deloy milva ksuva b'tayrahi, because it's not a loan that's even written and mentioned in the Torah itself. In other words, the Torah does not make an obligation that you go ahead and borrow from someone else money. It's something that you did between you and your friend. So that's just an oral loan. So that's where Shmuel says, okay, so then that shibud is not deiraisa. And if you die, then there's no, they can collect from the Yerushim. Avabahach, but regarding the case of Mishnah Masechtas Kinim, by a woman that gave birth who didn't bring a Karban Oila, where there at least there's a mitzvah of the king of Hashem on this woman, which is written in the Torah, to bring this Karban Oila, I would say maybe that's more stringent. It's almost like it's written in the document, because it's written in a document, the Bible, the one that was written when it was given to Har Sinai, that you have to bring that. I would have said that maybe Shmuel agrees in that case, like Rabbi Yechanan, that shibud of the bringing the Karban Oila would be Dairaisa, and that the Yershim would have to bring a Karban Oila. That's where I have to say that even over there says Shmuel that there is no shibud. So two in reverse. The Yashmin Baha, and had we only said the Mishnah Masechtas Kinim, that machlekes, regarding bringing her Karban Oila, I would say Baha Kamer Rabbi Yechanan. Over there says Rabbi Yechanan that there is a shibud. Why? The milvah ksuv bat Torah, because alone, meaning an obligation that's written in the Torah, which is what this woman has as a yeledis to bring a karban oila, is kiksuv b'shtar dami. It's like it's written in the document. There is where Rabbi Yechanan says that there's a responsibility and a liability on the yershim. Al bahach, but by regular or alone between two people, amen maidle Shmuel, I would say that Rabbi Yechanan would agree to Shmuel that there's no shibud. Tzricha, that's what we have to say. Both cases, that each one hold in their respective opinions in both cases, that it's either Shibud Dairaisa or not, and since they're not ultimately written in a document of accepting responsibility, then either opinion is going to hold that you're responsible or not. Now, Amar Papa, he concludes, he says, Hilchos HaDa'alacha is actually somewhere in between these two opinions. Milval Peh Goyvim Min HaYershin. An oral loan could be collected from the inheritors, but Ve'ina Goyvim Min HaLekuchis. It's not collected from a purchaser, a consumer of this person who died. It cannot be collected from him if it was an oral loan. Now, what's the reason? So he explains, Gaiva min ha-yershin, it could be collected from the inheritors because shibud de-daraisa. We're going like the opinion that holds that the shibud is de-daraisa. So therefore, since de-daraisa, even though it wasn't written in the document, doesn't make a difference. You don't need to accept your own shibud. Biblically, there's a responsibility of shibud that goes onto your properties. So then why is it ve'ena gaiva min al-kuchas? Then why is it that it cannot be collected from a consumer, from this person, let's say, even if he's alive? But the point is that when he defaults, he can't go to Lekuchas, which generally there's a responsibility, is the less late kala, because there's no word, the word doesn't get out unless you have a document written with witnesses, and then the word gets out that there is such a lien. And therefore, essentially, the creditor has created a loss for himself. Because, yes, although we're paskening that Shibud is deiraisa, and biblically there's a lien on their properties, and therefore wherever it goes, if someone buys it, the creditor should be able to collect from him. That's a rabbinic takana for the purchaser where he didn't know, and therefore no one's going to end up buying from anyone anymore. Commerce is going to go out the window because people are going to say, how am I supposed to know? Maybe some back door you borrowed from someone money. No one knows what the liens are. Therefore they said it's only when it's a milvah ksuv b'shtar where the word gets out and you know and you're going into it, then you're accepting responsibility that the creditor could come to you, then you could collect from lekuchas. But in a regular case where it's a milvah al peh, where although the shibud is daraisa, but he's not going to know to be aware of that, there, the Takana Drabbana was, since there's no Kail, then you cannot collect from the Lekuches. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of our Mishnah, which up until now we were speaking about just the first line of the Mishnah, opening up our Masechta. We said, Isha Niknes, B'Shalash Drachim, we said, B'Kesa, B'Shtar, Obiya. Now the Gemara continues with the second half of that statement, which is V'Koynes Atzma. Those are three ways that she gets acquired. She acquires herself to her husband, then she acquires herself back from her husband, Beget ubemisa sabal, with either a divorce document, that's how she severs from that relationship, or when her husband dies. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam beget, we understand very well a divorce document, the chsiv, like it says a pasuk in Devarim. It says, v'chasav la sefer krisis, that he will write for her a book of severance, etc. And it says, v'chais l'shachar, and then she'll go ahead and marry someone else. We know that she acquires herself back to go ahead and get married to someone else. Elamisa sabal manolam, but ask the Gemara, how do you know? How do you know that after the death of her husband, that now she's not, that she acquires herself back and that she can marry someone else? So the Gemara says, Svaruhu, it's a logic. Hu asra, but hu sharta. He made her forbidden by getting engaged to him. And now when he's not here anymore, so she gets released from him because it was her attachment to him which made her forbidden to everyone else. Now that he's not around, so his death, which releases her, makes her permitted to everyone else. And that the Gemara says, it's not so logical necessarily. V'ho'a rai is, well, we have all these forbidden types of relationships. For example, let's say a person's father's wife, or his daughter-in-law, or his father's brother's wife, his uncle's wife. The asar lahu, where there, It's the marriage of his relative, whether it be his father or his son or his uncle, that's getting married to this woman, which making that woman forbidden to him. V'loy sharu lahu. And yet when that man dies, that woman does not become permitted to him, and that she's forbidden to him forever. So you see that this svara is not so logical necessarily. We can have a case where the woman became forbidden through a man, yet when that man gets moved from the picture, he dies, that woman does not become permitted. So then the question's back. How do you know when the woman's husband dies, is she permitted to marry other people? El Rav, the Gemara brings a different source. Mid the Amrach, from the fact that the Torah says, Yevama she'en la banam asura, a Yevama. A man that dies without any children, his widow is called the Yavama. She's the Yavama to do Yibim or Chalitza with his brothers. Where when she doesn't have any children, she's forbidden to marry anyone else. That's what's called Yavama Lashuk. Hayesh Laban, but the inference is Muteres. But if she has children, then the obvious understanding is that then she would be permitted. How is she permitted? Because by her husband's death. It's only the Torah tells you that there's a prohibition, which is mentioned elsewhere in Masechta Yevamos, that when her husband dies without any children, then she's not allowed to marry anyone else. But the inference is, when he died with children, then she could marry someone else. So you see, a widow can marry someone else. And that the Gemara says, no. The Dilma, maybe I would tell you, Ein la banim asura le'alma v'shar le'yavim. No, to the contrary. When he dies without any children, she's forbidden to everyone else, because maybe her husband's death, unlike a get, does not permit her to marry anyone else. There's an exception that the Torah says, but if the husband died without any children, then she can marry the Yavim, the brother-in-law. But v'yesh labanim, but truthfully, I would tell you if he died with children, l'kule alma nami asur, that she is forbidden now to everyone, and that it's only an exception that permits her when there's a Yavim, when there's no children, that then she's permitted to him. But maybe when there's yes children, she's actually forbidden to everybody. So El Rav, the Gemara says, a different source. Mid Amar Achmanav, and the fact that Torah tells you, one of the prohibitions for Kahuna is, Al Manul Kohen Gadol Asura. A widow is forbidden to marry a Kohen Gadol. Now, the Halak Kohen Hedyut, Chari, the inference is that she's permitted to a Kohen Hedyut. How so? You're still bound to the husband. No, it's not true. From the fact that the husband died and you're a widow, you're permitted to marry everyone else besides a Kohen Gadol. From the fact that the Torah says a widow cannot marry a Kohen Gadol, obviously everyone else she could marry to. How is she marrying them? Just by virtue of being a widow, because now that he's dead, she's permitted. Now that the Gemara says, no, not necessarily a proof. V'dilma l'kohen gadol b'lav, and they're all asking along these similar lines, maybe, the kohen gadol, yes, the Torah says in Parashat Kedoshim, a special prohibition for a widow to marry kohen gadol, that's a negative prohibition. But l'kula alma ba'asei, but I would tell you that she actually is forbidden to marry everyone else, even when her husband dies. It's just not a negative prohibition, it's just a positive commandment. Because that would be learned out from, as Rashi brings from the Pasuk of Shilcha Mebeisai, says when the husband sends his wife away from his house, meaning through a get, so it says, the Beyatza Shalim, V'haysa L'shachan, she'll get married to someone else. Now, as the context of that Pasuk is talking about, that's through Gerishin. The inference of that Pasuk is that when could she be Haysa L'shachar? Only through Gerishin and not when he dies. Meaning that Shilcha is telling you that you send her away, only her and not another woman, which would tell you because when he's dying, that would not permit her to marry someone else. Now, Allah Abba Machal say a negative prohibition which is inferred from a positive commandment, where here it's not telling you a widow cannot marry someone else, it's just saying that a divorcee could marry, so it's inferred from a positive commandment that only here and not someone else, that would be considered a positive commandment. So therefore the Gemara is saying, who said that you could learn from Amal Kohen Gadol? Maybe yes, only Amal Kohen Gadol has a lav, but everyone else would be even the Isra say for the widow to marry anyone else. So I think Gemara answers no. Haya say Maya Vidite. How would you interpret that positive commandment which is being violated when the woman marries, as a widow, another man, which would prevent her from marrying someone else? Meaning, you're telling me that the negative prohibition and the liability of koras that happens when her husband was still alive as an HSH, that you're saying that's removed. But there's still going to be a Isra Aseh. And that the Gemara says, Idahanya Mises Abal, if the death of the husband works, it releases her from his kedushin, and that's how she's permitted to other people, well then Tishtir Lagamri, it should work totally. Why are you saying that there's no more lav and there's no more karas, but that there's an Isra Aseh, it should totally release her. And the Deloihanya Mises Abala, and if you tell me that the death of the husband does not work, because you tell me that you're reading into the Pasig that only Gerishin sends her away, but Misa doesn't send her away, well then Tukma B'milsa Kamaisa, then it should remain with the original Isra of HS Ish, because it's telling you that the death did not do anything, and therefore we wouldn't even need a negative prohibition for Amal Kohen Gadol when she has a Chiv Karas to everybody. So obviously, says the Gemara, must be that Misa is Materis, death of the husband permits her to everyone else, because if not, it wouldn't make sense to make this half-baked permissibility for the woman who is not married anymore, so there's no more lav and karas, but that there would be an iser aseh that wouldn't be logical, as the Gemara had questioned, and therefore this is the source. But the Gemara continues to ask, Alam alai, why not? Why isn't that an appropriate type of a question that the questioner was asking? We're saying that yes, maybe for a man l'kohen gadol has a lav, but everyone else she's actually forbidden to based on the iser aseh. Now, this that you're asking, that what do you mean? Is she released or she's not released? It's black and white or all or nothing. And the Gemara says, no, it's not. Because afikta, the death of the husband removes her mimisa, from death. Meaning that if a man would have relations with her, get married to her, there would not be a chiv misa bezin, but when he dies, there will be a violation of a positive commandment for another man to marry her. Midi to have absolute hamakdashin. The Gemara says we have a precedent like this, which is when there's a carbon, kachim, which has now become pasul, which is not available to be used as a carbon anymore. Where the halacha is the mikara originally, before it was redeemed, so isbahu mi'ila, as being a kachim, as being a carbon, there's a violation of mi'ila if someone would misappropriate the funds of that hektish thing. And vasir begiza, as every carbon, it's forbidden to shear the wool, as the pasuk says, lo yisagiz, and vavayda, there's a prohibition of utilizing it for work. Now, parkinu, but when you redeem this psuli amakdashin, me'ila less bahu, there's no more violation of me'ila. In other words, it's permitted for every person to eat that psuli amakdashin which was redeemed, and its monetary value put onto something else. But begizav avayda siri, but we see that the shearing and the working of that animal is still forbidden. As the Gemara says, Mesechtas Bechairis on Daf Tezvav Manal, it's learned out from where it says tizbach. You could slaughter it, but you cannot shear the wool. You could have its basar, its meat, but not its chalav, not its milk. Which, as the Gemara there explains, is tumah by psula makdashin after that it was redeemed. So you see that it could work halfway somewhere in the middle, in the gray area. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, black and white. And therefore, ask the Gemara, we're back to the question. Maybe I'll tell you, amal kohen gadol, yes, only for the kohen gadol is there a lav. But maybe for everyone else, when the husband dies and she's a widow, is it iser aseh? And this that you're saying, what do you mean, it should either work or not? We see, like by psula makdashin, it could be partly, where it only takes away me'ila, but giza and avayda still aser. See here also, it removes the karas and the lav, but the isra say is still there. So therefore, that's not a valid source of malakha and godla, because we could tell you that only there is the lav, but everywhere else there's still isra say. El Rav, the Gemara concludes, a different source. But the amakrav, and the fact that the pasuk says nevarim, pen yamis ba'mul chama, it's where it's talking about that there are certain individuals who, if they got engaged, but they didn't consummate the marriage yet, they should go back home. Why should they go back home? So it says, Penyamas b'machama, because maybe he's going to die in war. V'ish acha yukachena, and another man's going to take her, which is not something that a person could be saival, and therefore go back home. So we see that the death of the chasen, of the one that she's engaged to, will permit her to marry someone else. So clear pasuk, it tells you that the death of the husband makes her permitted to other people. Now that maskevela Rav Shisha b'ri David, but Rav Shisha b'ri David asks on this source, he says, Ema manacha, I would tell you that maybe she's not permitted to anyone else. But maybe since they're only engaged and they didn't consummate the relationship, so they never had children. Maybe when it says that another man's going to take her, it's actually a reference to the Yavam, That we know that the death of the husband permits her when there's no children to marry the Yavam. But who said that it's the source to tell you that she's permitted to every single man when her husband dies as a widow? So Amr Vashi says, Beis Chuvis Badav. He says, there's two responses to your question. Chada, first of all, the Yavam lo ikri achar. The Yavam is not called another person. If anything, he actually takes over the place of the husband. He's considered an extension of the husband. So that's clearly not a question, because it must mean another man means any other man. And therefore you see that Mises Materas. V'oid ksiv. Moreover, there's a pasuk in Devarim that is another source for this halacha. Because it says, Usneya ha'isha acharin, that if the later husband, she was married to one person who divorced her, and then she gets married to someone else, and that later man hates her. It says v'chasav l'asev ekrisis, that he'll write for her a get, or not that the later husband divorces her, or if the later husband dies. So v'iskish misa l'gerishin. So you see the pasuk is equating death of a husband to the divorce from a husband, which tells us the answer for this source of the halacha, magerishin shari v'gemerish, just like divorce, permits her and is conclusive, totally, which permits it to any single man. Afmisa shayev gemeres, so to death permits her, but not just halfway, as was asked in the question, but totally, and therefore it's not part way. Now Rashi does point out that why does the Gemara have to bring it from the comparison of divorce to death? It could just read a little further in the pasuk, which says, that after the second husband either dies or divorces her, it says that lo yochel ba'al harishon, the first husband that she was married to, who divorced her, and then she married the second husband, who now he's divorcing her or dying, it says that he's not allowed to go ahead and remarry her, which is the isra of machzik gerushas, if someone else married her in the interim. But the inference is, only he's not allowed to, but everyone else is allowed to. So you see that the death of a husband permits it to everyone else. Why not bring that as the source? So Rashi says, because then you could really ask the same question as we asked before. We could say, yes, the negative prohibition only applies as a lav to the machzik gerushas, to our first husband. But everyone else, although there's no lav, but we could say that there would still be a positive commandment, which would be forbidden, and therefore that wouldn't be a viable source. Therefore, it has to be, again, either as we brought from the Ishach Yerkechena, which obviously does not mean the Yavam, and that's the source when the death of the husband totally permits her, or from the comparison of Misa to Get, just like Get is totally permitting her to other people, so to Misa is going to be Materis, the woman, to other people. And that teaches us the two source, the sources for the two halachas of our Mishnah, when we said that the woman could acquire herself back from her husband, either beget or bemises habal.